An interview with landscape designer Susie DuBois, this time on Career Opportunities. Helping to build the career you deserve. This is Career Opportunities for April 18th, 2008. A member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. I'd like to highlight the listeners of Career Opportunities on the website. Send a 100-word description of you and or your website to career@welchrite.com. WELCHWRITE.com. Again, career@welchrite.com, and I'll highlight them on the website. Today's show, an interview with landscape designer Susie DuBois.
Well, hello, all Career Opportunities listeners. This is Doug, and this is our what is appearing to be a monthly series we're doing on interviews with people with interesting careers, careers you may not know much about. And today I'm here with Susie DuBois. Say hello, Susie.
Hi, Doug.
Susie is a landscape designer, and I only have about, you know, a small portion of knowledge of what that entails. And so we're going to kind of dive in here. And Susie, what does a landscape designer do?
Well, primarily I help people figure out what they could do with their gardens. And I'm kind of a step below a landscape architect and a step above a gardener. And I work with gardeners and the homeowner to figure out what it is that they, their style that they like, the colors that they like. And then I try to figure out what's going to grow in their garden. People generally call me because they've had no success trying to do it themselves. And they've lost a lot of money and plants. So I'm kind of the knowledgeable person to help them figure out what it is that they like and what will live and put it together.
So just like you'd have an architect come in to help you design your home or an interior designer come in to design the inside of the house, you're a designer for the outside of the house.
Exactly.
So how did you get started in being a landscape designer?
I studied landscape architecture at UCLA in the night school program. And I realized that I didn't want to sit in an office all day doing blueprints because that's the one thing I really hated. I enjoyed the drawing because I had been an art student. And I enjoyed gardening and I liked being outside. I didn't want to have to sit in an office. And I worked in a nursery after I finished. Well, while I was going to school during the night, I would go to work in the day at a nursery. So I got to know all these customers, and they started to ask me if I could help them. And I developed a business on my in my off time, doing consultations. And in the beginning, it was real minor, just telling them what they were doing wrong and what they should trim and pull out. And then it started to blossom. And as I got closer to finishing my education, I decided that maybe I could, you know, make a career of the part of landscape architecture that I liked, which was working with homeowners and being outside and doing the drawings, skipping the blueprints.
Well, that sounds, I mean, that's very interesting because that's something that I talk to my listeners a lot about, is obviously developing a career which is more in line with your desires and your tastes. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you were going to UCLA, was that a degree program? Was that a certificate program? Or what sort of a program was that?
I had graduated from the you know, regular part of UCLA.
And what was your degree?
I have a degree, a BA in design.
Okay.
Which you can't get a job with.
Sort of like an MFA.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so I figured I was going to have to go back to school, and I needed to earn some money. And I had taken a lot of landscape architecture classes in the design program, but they never taught you any drafting or technical information. They only taught you the design aspects of landscape architecture, which I enjoyed. But I needed to have the realistic part also. So they offered that in the night school program, and the professor that had taught in the regular program worked over there too. So I went and took some classes from Don Roberts, and I started taking those classes, and it was a credential program at that time. They thought maybe they'd get it to be an MBA or an MA program.
Right.
I don't know if it ever became one, but we were in the earlier stages of it. So you get a credential when you graduate after 2 or 3 years.
What, were you a gardener before? Did you do gardening in the family? Did you do it around the house?
My mother loved to garden, and I gardened with her. But, you know, it wasn't ever anything I really thought I was going to end up doing. But I liked the idea of having my own business. Mm. I didn't really want to work for somebody else because I had done that. And I just wanted the freedom of having my own business and being in charge of my own destiny and not having somebody be able to fire you. Although when you have your own business, you essentially are starting a new job every time you get a new client.
Right, and we're actually going to talk about the business side in just a little bit. What's your typical day like? So you, here it is. It's a Friday in April.
Okay.
Here in Los Angeles. Kind of give us an idea of what your typical day might be like.
In April, I start getting busier because all the customers start calling because their gardens are starting to look a little bad from the spring, and especially if it starts getting hot, which it just did. So they want their gardens to be freshened up, the people that I do regularly. I do seasonal plantings for. And the other people who want their gardens to be totally redone are calling me too because now they're desperate. Because they want it to look good. So what I do is I have appointments, go see people, do consultations right now. And we're setting up what we're going to do, what we're going to plant. And I start doing designs. I try to do designs in the off season, you know, when I have lots more time. But somehow it never works out that way. It always is very compressed.
When it rains, it pours.
Right.
Everyone kind of comes out of the woodwork at the same time.
For a while there, I was starting to worry that the economy was going down so bad that, you know, I was really going to have a lot of free time. But it's starting to pick up again.
Yeah, it's the same in my business. It's very cyclical, and you do kind of get those worried moments where you're like, has my phone stopped working? You're picking up the phone to make sure it still has a dial tone. Well, let me ask you, what are the favorite parts of your work? You sort of touched on that a little bit before, but what really makes your day?
I like seeing the gardens when they're done. I like seeing it come together. And I like hearing the customers tell me how happy they are. That really makes me happy. I had one customer that he didn't know he was sick, and I redid their garden, and he found out he had a brain tumor, and after he had the surgery, he recuperated, and he could only walk to the back of the garden. That's as far as he could go. But every day he'd walk out there and sit in the bench and watch everything grow, and he told me later, it helped him get through that whole period, and that made me feel really good.
Wow, that is
my little piece of, you know, making the world better.
I like that. I like that. You know, something when you're talking there, the image of sort of painting with the real world sort of jumped to mind. It's like, you're out there, and your brushstrokes are seedlings and shrubs and other things where, you know, a painter might go out with a paintbrush and some paint.
Yeah. So. And that's really kind of how I started, because I was in art, and it's very hard to make a living in art.
Well, it's interesting that you were able to combine the two, though.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's something I talk to people a lot about, is find something that you really like doing, something that you're good at, and, you know, basically make a career out of what you have and what your interests are, rather than kind of...
Because you'll succeed.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean,
at least you'll be happy.
to me, that's a big part of any career, is you have to be happy with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I believe that's the only way you do your best work.
I do, too.
You know, if you just decide to, you know, you're going to follow the banker track and you're going to be a banker, and that's what you...
Unless you love to do that.
Unless you love banking.
And there must be people who love to do that.
And more power to them, because frankly, I'm glad someone does.
I don't like it, and I don't want to do it.
let's talk about the business a little bit.
Okay.
Because I know as an independent consultant, we have a lot of similar, whether you're a freelancer in this or that, there's a lot of similarities. So first of all, let's talk about the plus side. What advantages do you find in running your own business?
The biggest advantage for me is that I'm available. When my mother was still alive, I was able to go over and visit her and do stuff for her and be with her, because she really needed that, because I'm the only kid. She was all by herself. And I had the free time to be there for my daughter, and I still do. And you think that as they grow up, they need less, but they don't. They need more. So I go to her games, and I only have had to miss a few. She's a softball player. And my husband tries to make them too, because he has his own business too. And we do our best to be there for her whenever she needs. And she doesn't really know how much she needs us, but we're driving her all over the place all the time. And it usually works out that at least one of us will be able to do it. So that, to me, is the biggest advantage.
Well, I can say I find the same thing true in my own business. I have a 10-year-old son, so I can relate to that. Okay, let's talk about the disadvantages.
Okay. I hate doing my own book work.
Yeah, you and me both.
I hate it. When I first started working, before I got married on my own, before I got married, I didn't have to have the money coming in as regularly. But now, you know, there's all these bills to pay. And I bill my customers as fast as I can. I hate to do it, but I do it. But before, I might go 6 months before I would bill somebody. Oh. And they'd call me up and say, where's my bill? They were really nice. They wanted to be billed. But, you know, the plants would be dying and be ready for the next season before I would send them a bill. I wasn't very efficient. Mm.
And I know I sometimes, maybe not 6 months, but I sometimes fall into the same area there, so I can relate to that. And again, that's part of the structure you have to take on. If you're working for yourself, well, it's all on you.
And you've got learned about that now.
Do your own bookkeeping and invoicing and everything else. So that makes sense. Anything else that jumps to mind? I mean, let me ask you a little bit about, this is something I like to talk about, which is, obviously, we both deal with people a lot. Mm-hmm. Our businesses are all about people.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
How do you, I mean, good and bad, what do you find in dealing with your customers?
I have really, really nice customers, and all of them I've gotten word of mouth. One person tells another person, and I don't advertise. I get who I get, and they know about me already. So my customers are really nice, and most of them, I mean, I do get new ones every year, but I've got a lot of customers that I've had for more than 20 years. And, you know, those are the ones I go and redo their gardens and all that stuff. But they're the ones who call me. I had some of them came to my wedding, you know. One of them threw me a baby shower. They're great people. And I've had a couple of people, you know, everyone does, that aren't so great. And I don't go back there. You know, I have that freedom.
I call it firing the client, and that's something you do have to do as an independent businessman. You do have to have the ability to basically fire a client who's taking too much of your time or too much of your energy or just stressing you out way too much.
Yeah.
This is something I know about my own self that, you know, one of the things I look at is the fact is, you know, people talk about retirement. You know, used to go to a business and you know, work for 30 years and retire. And I don't ever see myself doing that. What are your feelings? Do you ever look out there and go, okay, I'm going to retire somewhere out there?
I have to retire.
You're going
to
retire.
Yeah. You know, physically, it's hard. I'm getting arthritis. When I first started, I did everything by myself. I didn't have a crew. I dug all the holes, and I worked the soil. And a job that takes me now one day with a few guys would take me a couple of days, but I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I go with the guys. I'm still as exhausted as I used to be when I did it all myself. But it's hard on your hands because there's some things I can't have anyone else do because nobody can see it the way I see it. So I have to do pruning, and there are certain things I just have to do. And, you know, I want to have that time with my husband. I could probably do this for a long time, but we have a dream of moving to Texas and having a farm and stuff. Maybe I can do designs over the internet or something for people, although I don't know if I can work that way.
Well, it's interesting because it does pay to have a vision, a plan out there, whether you're working for yourself or working for a company, of, you know, where you're headed with this. And so that's actually a great idea. And that's a question I hadn't really thought about with other people I've interviewed, but it was like, well, you know, because I'm under this kind of the same thing, much less so, but I'm getting a little old to crawl under desks anymore, hooking up people's DSL and cabling and stuff. And so I'm looking at that same issue, and I'm looking at other things that I can move into, basically take parts of my business and make that my focus instead. So that's interesting. You mentioned a crew. You do have a crew that works with you now.
Yeah.
About how many people do you have?
Well, sometimes it depends on the job. And I don't do well with more than three guys. If I have four guys, one guy is just cleaning up. And I can only handle telling so many people what to do and keeping an eye on, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I can't move faster than them. They take lunch. I don't.
Right.
You know, because I have to keep ahead of them because I don't want to waste the time.
Right.
So that's it.
Well, if someone decided mm-hmm. that they wanted to be a landscape designer, mm-hmm. what would you tell them?
I think it's a great career. I think that it helps to have some training. I know a lot of people that have jumped into it from like interior design, mm-hmm. but they really don't understand plants.
They don't know Latin
it
names.
It looks great. Well, yeah, they don't know the names. But, you know, you don't really. It helps to know the names.
I'm making a joke there a little bit. But, yeah.
But it's the practical stuff. You need to understand what can grow next to what the other guy. They have to be compatible plant material and requiring the same amount of sun and the same amounts of water. A little bit here or there is okay, a little bit of variation, but generally they should be similar plant material. You don't plant a water-needy plant next to a drought-tolerant plant. And that's what they just go for the look,
right?
Which is beautiful, but, you know, down the line it doesn't.
You're going to have a lot more maintenance. You're going to have a lot more plants that need to have to be pulled out or moved.
And replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some people don't mind doing that.
Do you know if they still have the program at UCLA? Or
I don't know.
Okay. So it'd be something to look at that they're at people's local colleges and universities.
They have landscape architecture programs all over. And I'm sure, like, at Pierce they had one. It wasn't quite as, I think, rigorous as the UCLA program.
Yeah. Just to let people know, Pierce College is one of our community colleges here in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
And they focus on our agriculture
right.
and stuff like that. They mm-hmm. actually have a farm. If you can picture in the middle of Los Angeles, a farm with cows and chickens and horses and everything else, this is the type of a college that is.
Yeah, and you can be a landscape architect and end up being a landscape designer, which I chose to do partly because I didn't want to sit in a landscape architect's office blueprinting, drawing blueprints for a couple of years, which is what you had to do when I graduated to get your license in landscape architecture. Well, we had to learn how to do grading and design for grading.
So making hills and digging valleys and soils and all this stuff.
And grading is a lot of drainage. So it's not just grading, it's grading and drainage. And that's very technical stuff. A lot of formulas, mathematical stuff that I didn't think I'd ever need to know, but algebra came in handy, and geometry. And so there was gradient drainage, then there was irrigation, which was the other end, and you had to learn about pounds per square inch and how much water could be put out and all that, which, of course, I do not do.
Because you have another contractor who is dedicated to your projects,
right.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. Thank God, he waters my plants. But and I don't do grading either. I mean, you can do it by eye. I'm not legally allowed to design paving or overhead structures as a landscape designer because you have to have the license as a landscape architect.
So that's like a contractor's license? There's a landscape architect's license?
There is a landscape architecture license, and you have to take a test and pass. Yeah. When a long time ago, there wasn't. And the early landscape architects got grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. But, like everything else, they start making all these. And anything that could hurt somebody else, they want you to be licensed
right.
for. So, you know, I mean, it's hard to hurt somebody with a plant, although you could plant something stupid, like a tree that's going to fall with the pine cones. They don't want you to plant certain ones because
our native pines out here have these huge, I mean, VW-sized pine cones, which
right.
I have actually seen take out windows and dent hoods of cars mm-hmm. up in the forest. So I can understand you don't want to put a coulter pine in someone's backyard near their driveway, probably.
Right. There are certain there are certain things you don't put near people where they're going to, you know, walk by. You don't put plants with little spiky things, you know. That's kind of common sense.
But with the grading and stuff out here in California, you could actually, we've had entire hillsides come down because someone had a busted pipe in their hillside mm-hmm. and all of a sudden their house is in their neighbor's backyard.
Right.
So
yeah, but that's not really grading. That's
I'm sorry, that's irrigation.
Yeah. But and you know, you have to, all these things can happen. Mm-hmm. It's easier. There's certain places I don't like to work too much either because they have so many regulations. Santa Monica's just
yeah, it's a green city. So yeah, they're pretty picky about stuff like that. Have you ever experienced people like taking on interns or apprentices, or is that something that happens in the landscape business?
You know, it happens in landscape architecture. I think in landscape, actually, we had somebody that worked for us for a while, and he ended up having his own business. That's what happens, actually. You have a crew, and once they start learning and picking up, as soon as they get good, they leave. And that's typical. Yeah. And, you know, so you're always retraining people. And my husband has the same problem. You know, you're always retraining your crew, which is okay.
Well, Susie, thank you so much for talking with us today. I'm sure people will be very interested in understanding something that perhaps they've never been exposed to before. I know as a amateur gardener myself, I often come and ask you for advice on certain things. Even though I did grow up on a farm and all that, the whole landscape architecture and landscape design escapes me in most parts. So thanks again. And if people have any questions for Susie, please feel free to email me. You can send mail to career@welchwright.com, and I'll pass them along to Susie, and she can respond back to you.
That sounds good.
This has been Career Opportunities with Douglas E. Welch. Welchwright.com/career. WelchWrite.com/career. I'd love to hear what's happening in your career. Send questions and comments to career@welchwright.com or post them as comments on the website. You can also call our listener line at 818-804-5049. If you're listening directly from the website, why not subscribe? It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. If you enjoy Career Opportunities, there are many ways to show your support, and all are appreciated. These include a tip on our online tip jar, a review in the iTunes podcast directory, and others. You'll find a link for these and more on the website. This show is a production of WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com.